You're listening to The Record, KUOW 94.9 Seattle, news and information. I'm Bill Radke. Do you remember all that snow that fell here a couple weeks ago? That mess did not stop James Allen Smith from his mission of meeting supporters of President Donald Trump. 2 weeks ago, he drove his Prius in the snow north to Linden near Bellingham.
Here we go. You hear that? That was ice. I think I've seen a lot more trucks up here. Not a lot of Priuses, so they probably will see me coming like a mile away. I kind of wish I was in a truck right now. I'd feel a little safer on these roads.
Smith describes himself as your typical Seattle liberal. He's also a filmmaker. After Trump won in November, Smith decided he was going to protest for the first time in his life, call a lawmaker for the first time in his life, and record all of those firsts and post the videos to YouTube. He didn't actually leave his Seattle bubble until that trip to Linden. James, welcome to The Record.
Thank you very much for having me.
You get through the ice okay in your Prius?
I did, but it was actually pretty bad.
Did you consider renting a giant truck?
I should have, yeah. That'd be funny. They wouldn't see me coming then.
Right. Well, we have heard from listeners like you who are protesting for the first time, or they're calling lawmakers for the first time. So this is very relatable. Why did you decide to make videos of yourself doing all those things?
Well, I found myself just sitting in front of my computer. This is a slow time as a filmmaker and as somebody who works in TV. The winter tends to be the quieter time. So I had a lot of time on my hands, and I've noticed myself staring at the computer and reading more and more news stories, wringing my hands, freaking out, thinking the sky is falling, getting depressed, getting anxious. And also feeling disconnected. The more I spent online, the more disconnected in some ways I was feeling.
Why disconnected?
I think because I was just sort of holed up in my basement, in my little home office, and not in a great mood and not feeling very social. And so I just felt like I had to do something different, but I didn't want to do something that wasn't involved.
You got in your Prius. You drove to Linden, Washington, Whatcom County.
I would have taken my leaf, but I wouldn't have made it there and back.
Sure.
So I'm the quintessential like Seattle hippie. I've got, when I don't ride the Prius, I ride in the leaf. So
this is your first time doing that, right? Leaving Seattle to talk to Trump voters?
Absolutely, yeah.
You'd been making videos for months. Mm-hmm. Why did it take you so long to actually leave the bubble and go meet some Trump supporters?
Well, I think... You hear this buzzword echo chamber, right? It's mm-hmm. we live in echo chambers. I think the more technology comes along, the more social media becomes a huge part of our lives. I think the more the tendency is to be talking to a wall, talking to just people who are going to nod up and down and agree with you. And I knew if I was going to go anywhere, I was going to need to get outside of that. It was a bit of an experiment to see if I could still connect with people, even though I'm coming from one corner of the ring and they're coming from another. Right out of the box, the first thing I did want to say to people is, hey, I'm a liberal. I drove my Prius up here from like through the rain and snow to try to find a Trump supporter. That's sort of how I started. And I did it in a sort of self-deprecating kind of way with a little bit of humor as well. But it was really just to disarm them and to just say, hey, I'm here. I want to listen. You know, I'm tired of hearing my own agenda. I'm tired of talking to the same people and hearing the same kind of things. Why did you vote for him? What is it going to do for you?
How do people react when you walked up and introduced yourself as a Prius-driving, curious liberal filmmaker?
Way better than I expected,
yeah?
Actually. Everybody was super nice. And I had a couple people... you know, warn me like, oh, watch out, watch your back. Like, it can be scary up there, you know, or whatever.
Seattleites and, telling you to watch your back. Yeah.
And no, everybody was super nice. I mean, I think,
does that matter, by the way? Is that the fact that for starters, people were nice. Does that?
Absolutely.
Because some Seattle liberals might say, yeah, I'm sure those Trump voters are nice. They're sitting, they're probably really happy right now. Mm-hmm. And there they go. Does it matter that they were nice?
Absolutely it matters, because they're real people. And we're not hiding behind screens or I don't want to say hiding behind, because that's that right out of the box sounds, but we're not behind our screens. There isn't this layer of technology or this layer of distance. It's eye to eye. It's person to person.
I'm going to push back a little here, mm-hmm. James, because I could imagine a Seattle Trump opponent saying, oh, yeah, you go up to some stranger and most people are going to be nice and, yeah. And you know, they're not going to throw a drink in your face. But now you're just now with pleasantries, you're just masking over the fact that we've got serious stuff to argue about yeah. here. Do you know what I'm saying?
I completely do. And that's one of my biggest fears moving forward. There were times where I heard them say certain things that I wanted to jump back with. And I wanted to say, yeah, but at that time, at this stage of the game for me, it wasn't about that. It was really this particular time was about finding commonplace and listening. And I was surprised at the things that each person said that I at least related to, if not agreed with.
What's an example?
Person that I spoke with. Well, I asked her if she'd ever blocked someone on Facebook. And she said, no, I haven't, but I've been blocked by a lot of my liberal friends and even relatives. And I said, really? Well, tell me about that. And she says, well, you know, I try not to be political, but, you know, if I do at all, it seems like people just attack me, shut me down. And I asked what we can do because we have this sort of layer between us. We have coming from different sides, what can we do to come together? And she says, well, we can stop with the snarky kind of attitudes. We can stop with the name calling. We can stop with the memes. And
Trump
I thought about that.
He's ridiculous.
Right.
That kind of.
Yeah. I think, I'm guilty of pressing the thumbs up button once or twice on my friend feeds. I can't remember if I've ever posted a meme, but they boil everything down to such a tiny little sliver of a stereotype.
Yeah.
And it just strengthens the kind of divide. And it strengthens the negative perceptions on either side of the aisle. So this girl said, you know, let's start there. And of course I did say, well, you know, Trump is kind of the king of name calling.
That's fair.
Yeah, you know,
or
I mean,
is it? I don't know. What was the reaction to that?
Well, she said no. She said that he's not her favorite person. Uh-huh. Like she wouldn't necessarily be his friend in real life, but there were too many things from the political, from her political standpoint that she did agree with enough to where she's going to vote for him.
And what did you learn about the Trump voter that you didn't know and that we ought to know, if we're not already a Trump voter?
We're all shaped, obviously, by our life experiences. We're all shaped by what we're surrounded by every day. And I think that what I'm surrounded with in my life is entirely different than someone who's living, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours north of the city in a much smaller community. I think that right every day their experiences are much different. They may see businesses going away much quicker than I see nothing but businesses coming to Seattle. I see nothing but, you know, traffic jams. You know, I see my wife worked at Amazon for 5 years. And during that time, like it was a parabolic just jump up in employment and in just people coming to the city and people thriving and costs and prices going up and everything else. I think that those experiences are unique to where I'm living and to an extent to my background. So I think it's just, for me, it was a reminder that the country's a big place. I guess the short answer to your question is I think that I saw some humanity in some people.
So if we've got political opponents around us, go have a cup of coffee, go start with your kids, what have you. And if you don't think you have a political opponent near you because you think you're in your bubble, then what do?
You probably do and you don't realize it. I think that is one of the biggest problems that the Democratic Party had leading up to the election was we weren't listening. We weren't looking in the right places. We left entire places just... We just expected that they would vote the way they've been voting. And so I think that Donald Trump speaks pretty eloquently, if I can even say, to the idea that there are a lot of people who felt left behind, who felt disenfranchised, and maybe they were quiet about it. Maybe that's why the polls weren't so perfectly in line with the results of the election. If you have a lot of friends on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and you found yourself blocking people quickly, unblock them. Take a look at their Facebook feed. It might enrage you. I know that I've looked at some Facebook feeds that have enraged me. I've seen some really ridiculous things, what I consider to be ridiculous. But I'm not going to block them because I need to hear them, and I think they need to hear us. And you know, we can't let this destroy us. We can't let whatever it is, whatever side you're on, don't let this divide us to the point where we're just not looking out for each other.
James Allen Smith is a Seattle filmmaker trying to get out of his bubble, meet Trump supporters, and he's posting those experiences on YouTube. And we're tweeting out a link to some of his videos right now at KUOW.